Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology. Three astrologers who get together on the phone for a little talk about the sky and what's going on up there, what's going on the earth. My name is Mark Waltz. I am in New York City, and I'm joined by my colleague
Ann Ortley, and I'm out here on Fire Island in Ocean Beach, sitting under a nice fan with the breeze from the ocean. And we're waiting for Heather, who should be joining us from her road trip in Minneapolis. She's back home from her road trip. So we're waiting.
I think she's back in the Twin Cities.
Back in the Twin City, which is always good. And so what we do here is talk about what the weather is. So, Mark, what's the weather in New York?
The weather in New York is quite pleasant. It's surprisingly cool for the beginning of August. And we are supposed to be getting some rain coming in, but staying cool. So, pretty easy. And that's
pretty
what
easy.
The sky looks like this week, too. Pretty easy.
Pretty easy. And we had a new moon yesterday, which was at the world axis, 15 degrees of Leo, which starts a new 2.5-year cycle. So we watch for the moon. It's going to be at the same degrees 10 months from now, 10 lunar months from now, and then another 10 months from now, and then another 10 months from now. It's at the same degrees. So we watch this for the longer cycle. It also starts a short 30-day cycle. But we watch the new moons because what they do is they pulse some energy in our chart, and they invite us to create something that we didn't create before, because it's a new energy, a new seeding, a new idea. And I particularly like this new moon for a few reasons. One, because it's in Leo, which is always fun and playful and, you know, a good time. Of course, it's August's moon. And I find Leo moons generally are really creative. What do you want to say about the new moon, Mark?
Yeah, that's true. And I think this one is particularly creative because of the grand trine in water signs. That we've been talking about that for a few weeks now, and it's worth talking about because it's really quite a good energy, that connection of Saturn and Neptune and Jupiter. They're all in water signs and in a big trine, a big triangle in the sky for us. So it's a harmonious connection between the three of them. And it's nice to have them working together. It's always nice to have Jupiter in a grand trine because Jupiter brings lots of blessings and lots of opportunities. And when you hook it up with Saturn, Saturn is realistic and organizes things. And so we have a lot of benefits coming to us in organized ways. And then when you throw in Neptune, you bring in a spiritual element and an idealistic element and an element that is that ties us all together at a higher level than the everyday. So we bring in the sense of spirit, and all of that works together. And that's what's in this new moon.
And I think the beauty of it is because that grand trine happens so rarely. Last time it happened was in 66, and the next time is 132 years from now. I think a lot of, you know, I've been getting a lot of notes from people saying, I'm awash in emotions, or I'm afloat in, you know, I'm floating in things, or I'm feeling like I'm being carried. And that's all using all water words. But the fire moon, you know, the new moon in fire kind of says to us, oh, here's the light. There's a light. There's a reason why you're this water. And of course, whenever we're, you know, we come out of the water, one of the things we do is we sit, at least, you know, me here on Fire Island, we come out of the water and we sit on the beach in the sun, and the heat and the warmth kind of helps us dry off, but it also helps us come to a different understanding, because we're kind of balancing these primal energies of fire and vision, because Leo's all about vision, and then the grand trine in water is all about the feelings that you want to go towards And if, you know, the thing about the Leo grand new moon, which I think is really important, is when we look at a chart, wherever house Leo rules in your chart, that's what you're here to do. That's your path. That's your work in this lifetime. That's where your ego wants to express itself, where your sun wants to shine, very literally. So if you think about the Leo house in your chart, it calls for your chart's purpose to be expressed, your purpose on earth as a human. So if you have Leo in the 7th, you work with people. If you have Leo in the 12th, you work in, you know, you're kind of maybe more solitary. You know, Leo in the 10th, you want to be noticed. Leo in the 4th, your family and home is where you find your support and your purest expression of your, and your happiest, because Leo is a happy sign. So this new moon, whenever there's a new moon in Leo, it's always about starting something that expresses your ego in a new way, or starting something that expresses your ego in the way it really, really, really wants to be expressed. And then when we combine it with this kind of once every 132 year, or last time it happened was 1933, and then in 1929, and then in 1966, it happened before that in 1834, that's where I was getting the three from. This is rare, because Neptune doesn't normally hang out with the Earth planets. He doesn't normally come in and say, hey, let's reconnect you with your soul's purpose. Let's get you doing the work you came in here to do. Let's figure out how you're going to create and commit to the greater community. Oh, now that we've done all this emotional work, let's have a little pulse of energy right on the part where you're supposed to, what you're supposed to be known for. It's on the point of fame. So if you're supposed to be known for this, whatever it is. So it's an interesting time. You know, watch what comes to you this week, of course. But this is the universe saying to you, I want you to be known for this. Move forward towards it. You know, this is the direction. And I think that's part of what we're looking at, too, on a bigger level, is how do we connect into the work of our soul, you know? And on the underlying level, how do we get there? So it's very important to take time under this new moon to, you know, quietly, you know, I was sitting on the beach earlier today sleeping. I do my best work when I'm sleeping. And, you know, and I guess I was having these really bizarre dreams on the beach, you know, and I kind of woke up and I'm out here with a friend. So she was walking on the, she was walking somewhere and I kind of had this, oh, wow, that was a, you know, I'm on the beach without anything to write anything down with. But it was like this very weird dream. But I thought, okay, I should pay attention to that because there's this big new moon going on. But I think that's part of what this energy is. It's very much about seeing things we hadn't seen before, you know. You agree, Mark, or any other...
Yeah, and actually, I can picture you sitting on the beach, and the moon was lined up with the sun, and you wouldn't have seen it because it was right by
right.
the sun, and the sun was.
But I was facing it. I was
bright.
Facing the sun, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're facing the sun and actually facing the moon at the same time, so the two
right.
of them were beaming
yeah.
at you. Yeah. Although
I slept
the moon was actually beaming back at the sun, you had the dark
right.
side toward you, but they were lined up, the two orbs were lined up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And had the moon been in front of the sun, exactly in front of it would have been an eclipse. But it wasn't.
Right.
And so they were just at the same spot in the sky, but one above the other. Higher or lower than the other.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it really was. It was just kind of sitting there, like, you know, I don't normally sit out, you know, we work in offices. We're not outside in the sunlight that much. So sitting there just kind of with my little face pointed at the sun, sound asleep, it was really nice. It was very interesting. And I think it's understanding that we're connecting into something that's a little bit more... A little more important, perhaps. A little more life defining, I think. And
yep.
then this week we also had Jupiter Pluto kick off today. I think it was tonight. They're pulsing too, and of course they both are involved in the Star of David that's in the sky now. Star of David's starting to break up because the Virgo planets moved out. Now it's a cradle. But if you have early Virgo planets, you have planets between like 4 and 10, you still have a star in your chart tied into your natal planet. But the trine in water is still in place. But the Jupiter and Pluto are two opposing points in this opposition. Somebody had actually written me and said, you know, and I said something about Jupiter and Pluto last week, I guess, on the broadcast. I think it was Jane who wrote me, so this answer's for you, Jane. When you find Jupiter and Pluto in a chart, Jupiter represents expansion, and Pluto represents, you know, everything of the earth. You know, he rules the world. Jupiter is the sky god, rules the heavens, and Pluto rules the earth. So I often think of when the two of them get together, the sky and the earth, you know, how powerful that is. Leaving the ocean out, we're leaving Neptune out, but the combination of Jupiter and Pluto in a chart, the conjunction particularly, often indicates enormous wealth in the area that they're in. So if you see Jupiter-Pluto in the second, the person can have a lot of money. If you see Jupiter-Pluto in the first, the person can have a lot of personal magnetism and power. You see Jupiter-Pluto in the 10th, they can be a big kahuna in the world. So we look at it as a touched by the gods with riches, because Jupiter's a benefic, a good guy, and he's hanging out with Pluto, who has a lot of money. Pluto owns the gold, the diamonds, all this stuff, you know, the oil, everything in Earth, that we get out and say, this is what riches is. And these are what riches are. Riches are. Jupiter, Pluto, bizarre, thank you. Thank you, Mark. Yeah. I'm like, what word could be? So we look at this from the point of view of the combination of the two sky gods means you're kind of blessed. Now, if, you know, you have a different kind of combination, a trine or an opposition or a square, today there's an opposition in the sky, it says, look at what you think riches are. Look at what you think abundance is and understand it. You know, is this really what you want to define abundance as? And it also wakes us up and it says, abundance is this. And it presents an opposition. And talk about, you always have this great explanation of oppositions, Mark, that the fighting and the getting together at the same time energy of them. So with Jupiter and Pluto, how would that work? Yeah. I know, you have that Mercury in Pisces. I want everybody, when I say this stuff to Mark and he goes, yeah, really? You know, yeah, Mark has Mercury in Pisces. Yeah, he does. He has Mercury in Pisces and he says these amazing, brilliant things. And I sit there with my mouth open and I go, wow, I wish I could remember that. You know, and then I go, Mark, remember when you said this? And he's like, no. You know, I said that. Like, I don't know. He channels it from some deep place, you know. But it's always these profound.
Yeah, start over. Like, start over every time.
That was good.
But an opposition.
Yeah, you said it just yesterday. We were talking about the opposition.
Really? Oh,
yeah, you said
I don't remember yesterday, but... But I know when I look at opposition, I see them as the polarity of things pulled to one side or the other, to one pole or the other, north or south, or, you know, they're in opposite and they're often pulling apart. And the way to work with them, if you have them in a chart or if they're happening by transit, is you look for the balance point between them, because those energies, rather than moving out away from each other along the pole, they can also move toward each other and meet in the middle. And it's really a kind of a magical moment when they decide to move toward each other. And you never know exactly where the middle is. Like, try to picture the exact middle of a stick or the exact middle of a rope that's being pulled from one side and pulled from the other side. Hard to know where it is, but there's an approach of both sides toward that center. And the closer they get to the center, the easier it is to find that balance so that the one side is not heavier than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, we have Jupiter and Pluto.
Right, because they're in an opposition today. Yeah.
Right. And so there's a there's a sense that they're pulling apart, and Jupiter wants it to be all Jupiter and Pluto wants it to be all Pluto, but there's a way to balance them where they meet in the middle and it's all Jupiter-Pluto.
Right. That middle point is actually called the midpoint, and I think we have a new caller on the line. Hello, 612-615, are you there?
Hi, I've been on my other line for about 20 minutes, and you didn't recognize my bonus number, but I've been here cheering you guys on. You're doing a great job.
Okay. I don't know your bonus number. I was waiting for the 612-615 number. I'm sorry, Heather.
The blog talk was busy nonstop, so I've been trying every minute to get through to you. But here we are, is such an interesting time.
Yep.
And that grand trine you've been talking about is just lovely. I'm so glad to see that lineup of Jupiter, Mars, and Mercury beginning to break up. That Jupiter-Mars conjunction, they're still within orb of one another. The defensiveness, I mean, we can see it in the defensiveness of the country in response to recent, you know, chatter on the Internet, the defensiveness of people when their Mars gets touched. And I've been feeling that Mars-Jupiter conjunction trouncing the, you know, that grand sextile, which was beautiful, that Star of David. But the grand sextile still has three oppositions built within. So I'm feeling that Mars-Jupiter giving, energizing people to say, what action do we need to take care of ourselves? And sometimes that can be moving into defense, but I think its real call is, what actions do I need to take care of myself? And that new moon in Leo, Leo is always the season, the art season, it's art festivals everywhere. And so how can we be at an art festival, each one of us? How can that sun, that it gives us temporary narcissism, but that it's healthy for us to come back once a year or twice a year, I think, on the new moon in Leo and the new moon in Aries, to say, who am I? What do I need? What do I need to express? What am I truly part of? And let that shine. And I, you know, that wonderful beginning of that time that the new moon in Leo yesterday can bring. And may it bring us all a generous heart in the process.
Good. Benign narcissism.
Yes, benign narcissism.
I
At
like
least
that.
Temporary. Yeah.
Time. Wrong with healthy narcissism, you know, it's like you have to kind of say, yeah, you know, that I always go when somebody doesn't have planets in the first house, I go, you know, you have nothing in there in the me, myself, and I house, so it's a little hard for you to say what you want. And really, with the new moon, you do have a sense of this is how I want to shine, because our Leo house is activated, going, I want to do this, and it's kind of this is what I want, you know, so even if you have trouble in other times in your life, know what you want, this should be a moment of clarity, a moment of a healthy awareness of what's important to you. Narcissist gets a bad name sometimes. We have to think of it as it's an awareness of self, and when narcissist first looked at himself in the cup or the pond and reflected it and went, wow, that's who I am. You know, if you've ever watched a little kid or a cat or a dog with a mirror and the animal in there moved by them, that's narcissism. It's not a bad thing. It's like looking at yourself and really seeing yourself and seeing that you move and that you're who you are. You know, it's just when it gets a little past crazy that we have a problem with it.
Well, I was like the Leo joke that, you know, the gift of Leo is, I am the center of the universe and so are you. And the challenge is, I am the center of the universe and you are not. You know, that how do we... you know, when a Leo, I think of Carl Jung as a beautiful example of a wonderful Leo who could really listen to other people. And that the Leos who can really, and they used to say about Jackie Onassis, that she could listen to you like you were the only person on earth, because they know what it's like to need that level of attention. The ones that can actually give it and mean it. You know, every teacher has to be able to hold our attention, has to have a Leo edge. They have to hold our attention for our good, or we don't learn from them.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, using that Leo, letting our, you know, the Leo theme song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. How can we
mm-hmm.
shine for the benefit of others? I've known many therapists who said that it's necessary to go through that narcissistic phase in adolescence to really know what we need so we can negotiate for ourselves. If
right.
we get stuck there or we don't do it then, we end up doing it for the rest of our lives. You know,
right.
But it's not a place to get stuck, but it is a place that we need to visit.
Right. And we get August visited this week, so there's a new moon in Leo.
Yes. And I think with the Mars and Mercury in Cancer and Venus in Virgo, we're not going to get stuck there. You know,
no.
there's a two deep feeling and introspective signs to balance that new moon in Leo.
Yeah.
So it's not
so
quite
Heather,
so party-hardy as often the new moon in Leo can be because the Venus and Mars are in a more introspective, thoughtful, self-protective signs.
Cautious signs. I think of Mars in Cancer and Venus in Virgo as cautious. They want to
mm-hmm.
connect, but they're kind of like, oh, really? You know, it makes me a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, not in a big way, but just kind of a like a little anticipatory anxiety. You know, like, oh, really? Oh, that sounds fun, but oh, I'm a little nervous. So definitely got a thing. So we have missed you the last few weeks. Tell everybody about your sun trip.
Oh, well, thank
trip.
You. We go to a Lakota Run Sundance, a wonderful woman named Beverly Little Thunder, who was a Lakota Sun Dancer for many years on Pine Ridge, I believe. And then when she came out as gay, was asked not to dance with her tribe. And the older women said, start one for your own kind. So she had already had visions of a sun dance with living trees in a living arbor instead of cutting down a tree to put in the center, to grow a tree in the center. And she started a sun dance, which has been slowly growing over the years. And most of the women who come have native background, but some of them were from Ecuador or Mexico or, Winnipeg, all over the continent, different tribes. And my partner is Native American, so we come. And it was a powerful experience. And it's a 7-day, you know, one or two sweat lodges a day, I mean, a 9-day journey. And we drove out there to Vermont and back and saw a lot of America along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my yearly journey completely off the grid. We drove through Canada. And there's no cell contact out there. So I've missed everybody, and I apologize for not being here. But
it's a wonderful journey. You know, those kinds
mm-hmm.
of trips are so reconnecting to our souls. You
they
know,
are.
They just reconnect us back. Yeah, when I come out here, Fire Island, I just kind of, I mean, like right now I'm not turned off, but when I hang up the phone in a few minutes, turning off the cell phone and the computer, bye-bye. Because you feel, you know, because otherwise you're just, there's always something knocking at your door. And
absolutely.
There's no, it's like it's about holding the space. And
okay.
I think that's the imagery for right now. It's like holding the space for yourself to
mm-hmm.
see what you really want to do, to see where you really want to be. And there's so much, you know, I don't know, sadness is the wrong word, but there's, I think maybe the Mars and Cancer and the Mercury and Cancer, so much self-protection and solitude kind of feeling in the world. Like people
mm-hmm.
really need to sit in their inner sides, insides, and say, okay, let me connect in on to my insides right now. Because that's where I need to be. And I think if we can do that, that will help enormously. So,
because
mm-hmm. We just don't have time in the world, and being off the grid for like a couple weeks has got to be absolutely fabulous.
It's so important. I want to get back to something that might be that we might get some questions about. I know on the news today they mentioned that the sun's magnetic field is about to switch, which it does roughly every 11 years. Every 11 years, it's roughly, not right away, but in a few months. Now, what we have seen in history that every time it does this, it begins to be a search that that national politics tend to run conservative one cycle, liberal the next cycle, conservative one cycle, liberal the next. Well, if it's been liberal, it starts to shift when the polls shift. It doesn't immediately change overnight. And this would say that starting in 2002, roughly, there was an urge to move towards more liberal politics. But we didn't get very liberal this time. You know, the Republicans might disagree with us, but we went so conservative the last cycle.
I was going to say, I thought it was conservative like the last 12. I was getting all excited. They were going to go liberal? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. I know. I mean, that's what's scary is if this has been liberal, oh, my God. But so it talks about when we won't see that much change, and there might be some electromagnetic flux as it goes through changes, but not much. But we may notice that the shift will be over the next 11 years can be to move more conservative. And I would say, and we can help change that or direct that by making it more conservative of the resources of nature and not necessarily more politically conservative. But it seems to be an Saturn cycle, Jupiter cycle, Saturn cycle, Jupiter cycle.
Right. You can have basically what you could call a progressive conservatism, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all shades of conservative.
Yes. Yes. But it's a good time, well, you know, all throughout these political change years that we're in, so intense, it's a good time to stay involved and direct the country any way you can. So any way we can, in local, medium or small ways, pressuring, you know, the changes to go in good directions. Especially while the changes are so active. You were talking about that beautiful Jupiter-Saturn-Neptune grand trine. And I am seeing places this summer where conservative and Democrats or liberals are working together. More I'm seeing it in the strength of spiritual practice for a lot of people. And that several people I know also have found it is the time that they're getting addictions under control, because Neptune can be our addictive side. Jupiter-Neptune can expand those. They had to get them under control because they started to get carried away with themselves. But that I'm hearing some really good changes for people who have chosen to do spiritual practice and psychological homework this summer.
Yeah, I have seen that grand trine in water really creating a lot of habit changes, emotional changes, you know, like people really getting on a very deep level big, profound emotional shifts that they need to make in their life, solving problems that have been lifelong and feeling that the energy just kind of pivoted and it changed it, so... It is, I think, a very good energy for shifting that. And the British lady just said we have 90 seconds left. So, closing thoughts.
So next week, we're going to all be at the NCGR conference in Philadelphia. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to be there. I'll be there.
You're not.
Thursday, but yeah.
Okay, so you can Wednesday. You run the switchboard next Wednesday and we'll be on as normal then.
Yeah, or we can take a break and give everybody off. Yeah, whatever works. Are you going to the conference, Heather? That's great.
Yes, I'll be there. I'll see you all.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, we'll have to get together for lunch or something when we're all there. I'm coming in on Thursday. Mark, you go early because you're running the board.
But I'm actually not getting there till Friday.
Because you have to work.
Okay, so I'm there Wednesday, but I'm happy to call in.
Okay, totally cool.
Good.
All right,
yeah, you
so
too.
We'll do the shut then. All right.
Okay. Wonderful. We'll see you then.
And then, any last things on the week? I say.
to go out tomorrow night and look at that moon, and tomorrow and the next night, mainly Friday night, and the moon and Venus will be conjunct, and it will be beautiful in the early evening sky. Let
right.
that into your heart.
Yeah. She kind of hang
good.
Right near the edge of the crescent moon. And Mark, any
yes.
last words?
I like that one. Watch that crescent moon with the Venus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, that will be beautiful.
That'll be beautiful. All right, so enjoy the beauty. And that's it for Exos Astrology. And Orly,
okay.
signing off.
Wonderful, and take care, and we'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.